On today's Spit Hit, Jason tells a classic story. Look, who doesn't like a real life story? Well, you got to check this one out that Jason tells straight out of nightmares. We talk about animals that fight back, finishing other people's sentences. And of course, we draft the most dad clothing items. Tell your friends about the podcast. Come on. You have friends. You have family. Tell them about the Spitballers Comedy Podcast. I'll wait. Okay. Now enjoy the show.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
All I want to do is a zoom, zoom, man, a boom, boom.
Okay. All right. Welcome
now
in.
Now I need a saxophone.
I liked it. I mean, it's good.
Felt like it was missing a zoom, but it was good.
It's true. You're right.
Yeah,
I missed it. It's not just a zoom. It's a zoom a zoom zoom.
Yeah, zoom a zoom zoom and boom.
I had only so much time and only so many like beats to fit in.
Yeah, the beats were still a little bit.
It's very restrictive.
Hey, it's a tough place to be with the scat.
You think you could do it better?
No, you only get one shot. Welcome in to the Spitballers. Al Borland is here.
What's up, Spitwads?
Oh,
well, someone was ready for their big introduction.
Yeah, they were.
Finger was on the button. I'm ready.
Is the judge here, too?
Hey-o.
All right.
All right. Well, now we're in good hands. Would you rather Situation Room, a fun draft on today's episode of the show? You can check out the website, spitballerspod.com, learn how you can support the show, keep it going. Big news, huge announcement. Jason is still alive.
Oh, yeah, that's good. It's easy to
be alive
when you don't spend a lot of your weekend on the side of a highway. But I did spend a lot of my weekend.
I did.
I had not one, but two. Can I call them near-death experiences?
You can definitely call them incidents.
For you.
For me, right, because I don't usually get out of the house or do things that put any kind of danger in. But I'm driving up north, and here's the best part. I thought, you know what? I'm going to take my boys. It's night. I'm going up north to a cabin. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to take my dogs.
Oh, what a dog dad.
Yeah. I got my dogs. I got my boys. We're going to go up. Stay the night at a cabin.
Okay, let's set the scene.
Can I color in the lines a little bit?
Yes. Please.
Yeah, I think, Mike, we're thinking the same thing. People think of Arizona, it's this desertous landscape, right? You got the Valley of the Sun.
Mostly accurate.
All factual. But if you drive northward, maybe you've heard of the city Flagstaff, Arizona. Mm-hmm. There are pine trees and there are cabins and there's cool weather.
There's hippies everywhere.
There's a mountain.
Yeah, you go up a mountain.
Well, there's mountains.
You go up a mountain to get there. I mean, it's not treacherous, but it is it's an elevation. You go up to about a mile high.
Yeah. Take that, Denver.
And so, and Jason's like,
Wait, is it really that high?
It really is. I've thought about that. Like, why don't we get credit for a mile high
city?
Denver's
over here flexing.
Yeah.
Like, we got the mile high stadium. Meanwhile, we're over here. We have the Death Valley-ish area, not the real Death Valley, but you know, a ridiculous valley, but just 2 hours to the north, you go up the mountain.
Flagstaff's at 7,000 feet almost.
And where is Denver?
Oh, Denver, you better be 8.
They better.
You better be 8,000.
5,200.
Oh, Denver! You lying!
No. The reason why is because it's exactly 5,280. It's exactly a mile
that is
high. It's not the fact that they're just really high. It's that they're exactly
where
a
they're
mile
both.
High. Well, okay. Yeah. They were the first. Nice. That's good. But yeah, I guess they're big on being exactly 5,280.
But I do not care. If you are out here saying we're the mile high city,
higher in Flagstaff.
You are insinuating that you are above.
Oh, yeah.
You are
literally above everyone.
You are literally elevated above other cities.
Oh.
Meanwhile, you're just barely at a mile?
We
Unbelievable.
We, you know, we've got the fantasy footballers. We are in the football world. You hear all the time, oh, they're going to have to practice for the elevation. Oh, the elevation. They're going to run out of, they can kick the ball farther. You're not even that high. Arizona's got you beat, Denver.
Unbelievable.
This is not the story you were telling.
No.
But this is now the
but
story.
This is the story nobody wants to talk about, but
look,
we'll do it.
The mainstream media refuses to talk about
how regularly high Denver is.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm driving
Jason's
up.
Going up towards 7,000 feet.
Yes, I'm going up to way higher than Mile High
City. Which is clearly dangerous.
And on the way, of course, we decide to leave at night. It's pitch black. And
what time did you leave?
8:30 at night.
What? Problem number one.
That is, it's bad decision making 101, but it still happened. And I'm thinking, like, what's going to happen? I'm going to go up there. I'm going to lay my boys to sleep. Like, the, you know what I mean? And just that way we get the drive out of the way. You know, that was the goal, is tomorrow we wake up and we get a full day. And, of course, I get a flat tire.
Yeah. Oh, nightmare.
Okay.
This is a two-lane highway going up a mountain. There is not room for, you know, I'm not setting up a tent over here. This, I am.
This ain't flat tire zone.
No, you're not changing a tire. You're not changing a tire on the side of a mountain where you have nowhere to pull over. It's pitch black. I have no cell service. I have no
way. Well, it's probably because you're so elevated.
I'm way higher than the cell phones can go. And so here I am ready to, like, I'm like, what do I do? What, like, I can't leave my boys. I didn't bring leashes for my dogs because I'm an idiot. I can't get the dogs out of the car. I'm on the side of this pitch black road. So I had to leave the car and go call,
okay,
like, go find cell service.
But it's Arizona. So it's outside. It's a sweltering 90 plus degrees, because even at night, still it's still warm.
It was freezing, so much wind, and it was, I think it was like 40 degrees, because we're so much higher than Denver. And
let me guess, shorts and flippy flops.
Shorts and flip flops, yes. But I knew I was going to the cold, so I brought a jacket with me. Now that jacket was on the passenger seat, but if I walk back to the car, I'm on hold for like 10-15 minutes trying to get service. So if I walk back to the car to get my jacket, I lose the call. So I have to be here.
You're starting over.
Yeah. So anyways, that took all night, all weekend. We finally got back down to safety. We get back up to the cabin. We're driving home at night. At night.
You didn't learn your lesson the first time.
Well, I mean, we wanted to make the most of our cabin. And we've got two cars. My wife is in front of us.
Andy's just shaking his head. And he's so upset with Jason.
Life choice.
No, I'm just so amazed because this doesn't feel real.
The second story is even.
This is where it gets good.
I was about to say, the first story sucks compared to the second story.
So I'm driving back down, which is, you know, I was very high. And my wife's van was right in front of me. She had my daughter, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden, I see her
daughter as well.
Right, yes. She had my daughter. I had her boys. And I see her jerk the car to the side of the road like
uh-oh,
crazy. And I was like, whoa. So I pulled behind her. And then it was like there's a 10,000 bees inside. My daughter goes out the right. My wife goes out the left. And they're like patting themselves like.
Well, they pulled off to the side of the road.
Yes, they pull off to the side of the road. And they are going. There is clearly some sort of.
Is this like, was that Tommy Boy?
Tommy, or Black Sheep?
It was Black Sheep. Whatever. Yes. Same movie. Same difference. But
same movie.
But
yeah,
they're pulled over by an officer.
There's bees everywhere.
And to avoid getting a ticket, because you can't blame someone for doing
save
that.
Save yourself. That was great. That was a great moment. So anyways, it turns out it was a gigantic spider. I'm not talking no run-of-the-mill.
Unbelievable.
It was
any other animal.
Anything. If there had been 1,000 bees, I could have come and done something to save it. But here we are on the side of the highway. I can't do anything. I'm super arachnophobic. I'm looking at this monster, this just creature from the depths of hell.
I want to know how big this thing really was. Has any of us actually seen it? Did you take pictures?
Oh, why would I do that?
Then I don't believe that this thing was big.
My wife could do it. I couldn't do it. We were, I was
it's
so.
It's a cricket. This whole thing's been a cricket.
So I didn't realize your wife is also
I didn't
as bad
realize,
as you.
I didn't realize that either, that she was that bad. But I was so mad at myself because here we are.
Real quick, just for if you're new, I mean, there's 200 shows. Maybe not everybody knows. Jason is the biggest arachnophobia victim
yes.
in the land. Like, he's truly, really.
Yes.
Watch. If spiders.
If you really want proof of it, it's the fact that here we are on the side of the road with my family in a dangerous position, and I couldn't do anything. I was so embarrassed with myself. I was so disappointed that I can't step up. I was like telling myself,
it's a bug.
I'm a 275 pound man. It's a bug. I can go get it. And I couldn't do it. We're like, what do we do? Do we call the police?
Do we leave
do
in front of traffic?
Do you call roadside assistance? Do we just burn the van and say we're a one car family now? I don't know. But so what do? We called Al Borland.
That's a solution to a lot of problems.
I mean, he's the bat phone for Jason.
Yeah, really. Thank you. And man, Owl came.
No, but hold on. This is part of the story that I've not heard. Owl.
Yeah.
That phone call, in your words, like in your experience,
into your mind.
Tell us that part of the story, because that is missing.
He was in full hysterics. I can confirm that Jason was terrified. And so I asked him, I said, I was about 40 minutes away though. And I said, do you want me to come? I just dropped my family off at a restaurant. I'll leave them here and I'll get to you, but it'll take me 35 minutes if I'm flying. And he's, I don't know what's going to happen. The spider will probably be gone by then. Don't worry about it. Click. And just hangs up.
He hung up on
yeah.
you?
Well, because if it's going to take him that long, if the spider crawls anywhere, we're just completely out of luck. Like, we're, you know, what if the spider crawls down okay. and we don't see where it goes?
So, with both of you being scared, who was the guard? Who made sure the spider did not move?
My wife was the eyes on the spider.
Okay. So, someone was tracking the yes. spider.
Jason was rappelling down the mountain.
Yes, I had left my family.
He hitchhiked with a random stranger.
Was looking at the trees. Can I build a house here?
So eventually Jeremy calls back. We've done nothing.
I called Tiffany.
Yes. And this is after 10 minutes.
Oh, you went over the top.
Yeah, because I was texting Jason and he wasn't responding. I was like, I could tell this guy was in need of help.
You called the boss.
Yeah.
You went over management.
I said, tell me real. Do I need to get in my car and come? And she goes, you need to get in your car and come.
So he does. He's flying down the freeway. Officers, he was not going 93 miles an hour.
This was an emergency.
He was, though. And he's almost to us. This is 30 minutes later.
And let's color in the other part of the story. So at this point, our group chat, we have a group Slack for our company. All of a sudden, this story just starts being talked about in our company Slack, and it's a Sunday night.
I couldn't believe it was live,
and I'm in the bathroom, you know, like I'm on my phone. It's like, this is funny. Wait a minute,
this is happening.
This is a
now.
Real. This is a real, actual live story that is breaking right now.
Yeah,
and so we're getting the details. We're hearing from all sorts of different sources, and everyone from the company starts chiming in about
this can't be real.
This cannot be a real thing that is happening. And Jason is just terrified.
It was. I'm telling you guys, it was the size of my palm. It was the full palm. It was the biggest, nastiest, gnarliest spider I've seen
now,
outside of a tarantula in my life.
So for context, if a spider is the size of your palm,
I'm telling, and your legs put, go.
Okay, but I'm saying if you were to slap the spider with your palm, that would mean that the spider would die. Is that correct?
Or the shoe.
That would mean I would die. But so anyways, to wrap this up here.
Yeah.
So Owl is almost
on his way.
My family's sitting at a restaurant by themselves.
He is abandoned.
He's abandoned this family.
And he's about 8 minutes away. I'm on the phone with
him. How did your wife feel about this? What did she have to say when you said?
She knows Jason. She goes, you got to go.
Yeah, okay. she knew I was in need. And so
cheers to that.
While he's almost there, a truck pulls up behind our two cars.
And you hadn't called anybody
else. Oh, no, I hadn't called anybody. And because there's two cars there, everybody assumes someone's already stopped for help. Uh-huh. But no, now the Good Samaritan shows up. And as soon as they show up, my initial thought was, oh, no. Now I have to tell somebody. I have to tell somebody that the reason we're stuck on the side of the road. This guy comes up. He's like, did you get a flat tire? I'm like, no. It's a spider. and this man was a man, and he got out of his large truck and he went over there and he grabbed this spider with his hand and took it out of the car, and I proceeded to give him all the money I had on me and said thank you. And then Jeremy just had to drive back 40 minutes to his family. You did nothing, Jeremy. No hero for you.
I was so angry with that man. That was my kill. I had dibs.
Unbelievable.
And I'm alive, and I'm here to
And it's story. All in one weekend.
Also, PSA, because maybe it's been a while since I've said this. Should you follow me on social media, and you're like, oh, look at this funny spider picture or story or whatever, yo, get blocked.
Yeah. Are you going to start bringing bug spray in your car?
True story. We talked about, like, how do we avoid this in the future, and I tell me if this is a good idea or a bad idea.
Oh, no.
I thought to myself, when we park up at the cabin, can I get bug spray and spray it around the car? Like make a
That's
salt
not gonna help.
Circle.
That will not help you.
No?
No.
So I got to spray the inside of the car.
You do.
Or close the windows.
Well, it wasn't just open for the taking.
Oh, my gosh.
So, anyways, I survived.
That was quite the introduction. I mean, it was just unbelievable because you couldn't have written a script. Like anybody else, that story's insane.
Okay, I got to go back.
Except for you hate spiders.
I got to go back. Man pulls up to your... Because you kind of just sped this conversation up. He says, do you have a flat tire?
Yeah, how did you
and
exactly...
You say, well, yeah. No, there's a really big spider and we have a problem with spiders. And the man says to that comment, what?
I believe we set him up by, first of all, I said, there's a spider. It's really big and I'm an arachnophobic, so we just can't do anything about it. Okay. And then I think my wife asked him, are you afraid of spiders? To which he then said, spider? No, I'm not afraid of spiders. And so I was like, heck yeah, you're up.
You're up.
And he just, I mean, this.
Shout out to John Stone.
John Stone. That's right. I got his name.
Did you ask what he's actually afraid of?
Nothing. This man is afraid of... He's not afraid of death.
And to be clear, he grabbed it with his bare hand.
Yes, he just went in and knocked it out with his bare hand, with his man hand.
Oh my
hands are so... They're too soft. Spiders will eat right through these hands.
They're too soft. They're too moisturized.
I lotioned on the red.
All right, let's start the show now.
All right.
With some Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
Riggles from Patreon says, would you rather be stung by a bee daily, sprayed by a skunk weekly, or quilled by a porcupine monthly?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. I've
never done any of these three. Have you?
I was going to say, me and you are the two people on Earth that have never been stung by a bee.
Yeah.
Make it three.
Really?
You've never been stung by a bee.
It's one of my proudest accomplishments.
My son was stung at your house. A little while back, he was stung the other day in the yard. He's been stung like four times.
Now, the way that Jason feels about spiders.
That's how you feel about bees?
Most of my life, I've really tried to look inside myself and not be a little baby boy in front of bees in front of my children.
So that they don't, you don't pass it on.
So that, yeah.
Which Jason is completely passed on.
Oh, yeah, my...
So, yeah, I don't keep the cycle going. I have gotten better. I do not like them, but I've made some strides when it comes to bees.
I've moved to a place where I'm good with them. Because I feel like...
So you can just do a, here's a bee.
I'm chill around them. Because I feel like if you're chill around bees, I've seen these beekeepers.
Oh, it's true.
The beekeepers just, they walk up to a hive. I've got a friend who moved to the Midwest, became a beekeeper, He's always posting Instagram videos. He never puts protective gear on. He goes in and takes these hives out of places.
That's crazy. And is just, his name John Stone?
Hold on.
I'm serious.
You have a friend.
Yeah.
They moved. Did they move with intentions of
none at all?
Okay, so they get to said location.
Yes.
And okay,
they found a new passion.
Did they move for work?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
So they moved for a different job.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, they said, "You know what we need to do? Be beekeepers."
Yes.
That is fascinating.
And he sells honey and all that stuff. So,
that is fascinating.
Yeah. So he started his own business.
Where do you get the bees?
Well, no, the bees. Bees come to you.
You just get flowers and you're good to
go,
man.
People call you all the time because they have bees that get stuck in their house or their trees, and they get the bees. It's like free bees.
Except you probably get paid for it.
You do get paid for it.
You get paid to get your workers?
Yes.
What?
You get paid to get free bees. Have you been stung, Al?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Were you allergic?
No. How does it hurt a lot? Scale of 1 to 10.
4.
And does it last?
3.
Does
I'll
it
go
last?
3.
Okay, 3.
It lasts for a few minutes.
My son had a big welt for the whole next 2 days.
Oh, that's like an allergy.
So I'm curious, like the one that's.
I'm convinced I would die.
Yeah, oh, for sure you would.
It's a full my girl situation.
Yeah, I'm not afraid. It's so funny because like bees actually hurt people.
Right, most
commonly.
Spiders
bees,
don't hurt people at all.
Right,
bees are flying weapons, and you cannot figure out where they are going to go because they don't know where they're going to go.
See, the comforting thing is when a bee stings you, it commits suicide.
Right.
So to me, it's like it's making a real
laugh.
That didn't stop the planes in World War II, man.
No, goodness gracious.
They knew what they were doing.
Somebody check that man's cup over there. Good. How do I pull back from that?
Well, I had a question regarding this question, which is why I would assume that the worst one here is the skunk.
No.
You got to take.
It's not painful. It just smells.
Oh, but you can't.
You got to take the tomato bath.
What? A tomato bath?
You never heard that?
I think that's true.
Yeah,
that's not a thing.
That is 100% a thing. If you get sprayed by a skunk, you're supposed to. You have to fill a tub with tomato sauce.
It's something about the acids or something.
Yeah. That's so much tomato sauce.
I know. It's a very expensive thing.
I mean, you'd have to have a whole tomato farm.
Oh, it's a myth?
Oh, no, that's not a myth. That's real.
Oh, the bunch of people did it for no reason?
That's real.
Do you know how much they spent on tomato sauce?
It's Big Tomato Juice that did this.
Big Genius, those Big Tomato people. They got us again.
Big Tomato was like living in they were born in an era where skunks were running wild.
And no one actually likes tomato juice.
All you have to do is take a regular bath and you're fine.
Well, no, because...
But they're like, no, make it tomato
I'm
sauce.
I'm pretty sure that a regular... A regular bath doesn't like actually remove the smell, but I'll bet you take a tomato bath and you don't smell the skunk anymore. You only could smell. Oh, is that tomato?
Don't take this the wrong way, but you take a bath of tomato sauce.
So this begs the question: work or pain? Because if you get skunked, you've got a long period of time to clean off once a week. If you get stung by a bee, it's probably just a little bit of pain. Now, the quill is out. I'm not getting quilled by a porcupine.
But that's only once a month.
Yeah, but that is a whole... That's work and pain.
That was
to
my
get
question.
The quills out.
Is how... Does do porcupine quills have... Any,
oh, Barb any, City.
Well, but do they have any venom or anything?
No.
I think it's just a point.
They got barbs that are stuck in you.
Yeah, I'm not downplaying that would really, really suck. But if it's only once a month and you got to pluck it out...
Porcupine quills can be very painful and introduce serious infection if not dealt with quickly and effectively.
Grab the quill firmly near the tip and pull straight out quickly and steadily. This will minimize the risk of breaking off the tip.
Okay,
yeah,
so once,
that means
no.
There is a risk of that barb staying in me.
And then you get infected. No,
you get
porcupine's out.
Porcupine is out.
I'm going to do the bee sting. I'm going to pretend like this is... What is that daily, though?
Yeah.
You son of a gun.
Yeah. That's every single morning you get out of bed and you step on a bee.
Well, I was thinking like, you know, I grew up, I got allergy shots once a week. Okay, you deal with a little bit of pain. It puts a needle in you once a week. But daily? I'm taking this skunk.
I'm going with the daily pain. I'm going to go with the quick ouch and get over it. I probably
hit
my toe.
I could get a shot every day.
I get, you know, yeah. I stub my toe every day. So this is just twice.
You stub your toe every day?
Well, I'm maybe not every day, but I get hurt on, you know, probably more often than I should.
You should? Okay, yeah. Final answer, Mike?
I think I'm taking the quills. I'll risk it.
Oh, you psychopath.
I'll risk it.
How in the world would you take quills?
How many? Well,
do you know how
many
quills?
Just one. Just one.
No,
quill.
It ain't no one quill.
No, it's quills.
Oh.
It's a porcupine. They don't quills? Just shoot one at you like a sniper porcupine.
So is it random?
It's got to be 50 quills.
No, it's not.
Get out of here.
No one ever gets 50 quills.
That would be the suicide of the porcupine. The porcupine's gone now.
The porcupine launches its entire pelt at you?
Yeah. He's literally stuck to you. He's asking, can you please remove me?
If it wouldn't be too much trouble, sir.
It would not be abnormal at all to get 50 quills in you from a
what?
Porcupine.
Porcupines have, get this, 30,000 quills on them.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
You got to change your opinion, Mike?
50?
50.
I've seen the video of the lion trying to eat the porcupine and getting quills.
That's a cartoon.
No, this was real. This was real life. And
your
it was
final
not,
answer. You're getting 50 quills, brother.
It was not 50.
30,000.
If
yeah.
you keep this like under 10.
Oh, these pictures I'm seeing. No. No. No.
All right, okay, then I guess I'm taking the B.
All right. Eli from Patreon says, would you rather get $126 daily or the ability to see 8 minutes into the future with the caveat that knowledge obtained in the future cannot be used for financial gain?
So it's just a party trick?
Did you
what?
Just make up this $126?
Eli
I guess
did.
Eli did, huh?
Eli's coming.
What can you use 8 minutes into the future without the financial gain part?
I don't.
Does it make you invincible?
Yeah, a little bit, right? Like if
any
you,
harm
yeah.
that
a
could
fight?
Come.
Imagine a fight.
Well, a fight, yeah, but I just mean even like a car wreck, right? You'd be able to avoid a car wreck.
Yes, you would. Yeah, 8 minutes for sure.
Now you wouldn't be able to avoid some forms of harm.
Sure.
That being said.
Yeah, like total disasters.
You know,
or germs. You couldn't yeah. see germs 8 minutes into the future.
We might, we might be going a little too far here, but I believe that if you were to see 8 minutes into the future, you are seeing whatever happens regardless of what you do. You're not changing it. You're seeing what happened. And then the reason the car accident happened is because you tried to avoid it. You made the U-turn
okay.
and then...
Yeah, does it reset every second?
I think you're...
But I need Al to defend it. When he said you can't use it for financial gain, I assumed you could use it for other things.
There has to be some gain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just seeing
But what
stuff.
Gain? All I can think of is money.
All right. Let's,
I'm very greedy.
We just got this superpower, right?
Okay.
We can see 8 minutes into the future.
What if I
some
use...
people unsubscribe from the podcast.
What if I help my friends get money?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
No financial gain.
No
financial gain. I can't see a good use of this.
Because every time you think of it, you're like, oh, I know what happens in the sports game, and then I'll bet it.
I mean, really, what you're doing is you're saying, I know what's going to happen in the sports game, and watch how smart I am. You're going to tell your
oh,
friends.
Oh, it's a pride thing.
I'll bet they do this play. You know, I'd be a great TV broadcaster. Tony Romo gets credit for, like, calling a couple plays. I'd be a genius.
Got a question here.
I'm sure you do.
Your ability to see the future, okay, is this like you're watching a screen? Like you're watching
in your mind's eye.
You're watching essentially you're watching a screen from, but it's your perspective.
Sure.
So that you see things moving on at 8 minutes. Do you feel, or
well,
do you,
I don't
or
know.
Is it just you, or it's almost like you sitting on a couch watching this, and then at any time. You can sit down and watch 8 minutes.
Yes, yeah, I think that's all it is. You're just
you see it happen.
If you want to look into the future, you just see it, like you're watching Netflix.
Would this help you?
So you're
from overeating because you know how you'd feel 8 minutes from now.
If
but you're like, oh, that looks good. That looks really good. So. But you're like, your real life would pause.
Yeah,
and you're just watching.
You would instantly know, just in the blink of an eye, you could see what's going to happen in 8 minutes.
I guess, Mike, you're probably taking the financial gain that's built into the $126.
I mean, $126 a day is not bad.
That's 30 grand.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take 30 grand for free.
Okay.
I'll take the money.
I'm short-sighted.
It feels like a parlor trick if you can't get money from seeing in the future.
Yeah, but then again, if you're telling me someone came up to me and said, hey, it's going to cost you $30,000.
Oh, yeah, for this power.
And I will let you, anytime you want to see into the future 8 minutes, you'll be able to. I don't know how I don't.
$30,000 a year.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, say, but what if they broke it down and they said, for only $126 a day?
Yeah, give me the money. All right.
it's funny because 8 minutes into the future is not that much.
No, you're not gaining some incredible insight
a day
upon
into the future,
humanity.
Maybe.
But you are absolutely right. Of like those snap, like quick disasters that happen, you would be able to avoid all of them.
100%. As long as you.
That's not terrible.
As long as you didn't have to, like, if you always were aware of 8 minutes into the future.
Or if you just saw, you saw, you're like, oh, no.
That's what Jason was saying. If you can't change it, you know 8 minutes before.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the whole thing with the sun? Don't they say, like, the light you see from the sun is what, like, certain amount of minutes?
6 minutes or something?
It takes that much time to get here at the speed of light. So, I, of course, once I heard that, I grew up thinking the sun could have exploded and you wouldn't find out.
For another 6 minutes.
8.5 minutes old.
Oh, it's 8.5. Okay.
That's wrong. Does that mean if the sun exploded, though, that would actually be true?
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know.
The answer is, nothing can go
faster than the speed of light, right?
The answer is yes.
So that means even the effects of an exploding sun, if you blew it up now, you're not feeling those effects any faster than the speed of
our
light.
Our light would not turn off for 8 minutes.
But then would that
and then
be the
we
same?
Wouldn't be melted.
Would that be the same moment we would get like the aftershock of the sun?
Yeah,
either the
sun engulfs the planet, or we freeze because you would freeze almost instantly.
Hmm.
It would be just like being in space.
Interesting. All right, should we move on, or do we have time for another? Would you rather? There.
Let's do one more.
Poop soup. Poop soup from the website. Well. You know what? I can't really judge any listener of this show for a poop-related name. Would you rather have to always try to nonchalantly finish other people's sentences when they are halfway through them?
Or nonchalantly.
I see what you did there.
Nice. Or nonchalantly mimic their actions while they are talking to you. Their hand movements, facial expressions, posture, etc.
These are both terrible.
Oh, man. My wife does the repeating you thing. But she'll do it so far beyond what is acceptable. You know, it's like once you're really upset and you're like, okay, stop. Okay, stop. And then you just keep going forever until I am broken. She breaks me. And then I laugh and I find it funny. And then that's once you start laughing, it's done. These are terrible options.
Yeah. I think I will take the nonchalantly trying to finish other people's sentences. It feels like more of a game, right? Like you're trying to.
It feels like fun.
It's like
that
some
you can
sort
be a part
of engaging challenge for you
for
to.
YouTube. Isn't that an improv thing?
There are some improv
games
that are kind of like that. Finishing someone's sentences
is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, I would say that
I'm afraid of spiders.
Right, exactly. Because when I come on,
I'm not trying to finish. I'm trying to talk.
I've been trying to train myself not to cut you off. I can't get back into that habit.
Being repeated is so much worse. Oh, that feels
of all the shows and people we've done thousands together. Yeah,
okay, let's move on.
All right, we're just moving forward.
That's a great question,
Drew from the website. What's the difference between a hotel, a motel, and an inn? I love it when we do these questions. Because I learn something every time.
Yes.
Yeah.
A hotel, a motel, and an inn.
Well, they're in the wrong order. Because a lot of times people want to, you talk about a puddle and then a pond and then a...
you go small to big?
Right. Small to big or big to small, but here...
You're saying an inn is smaller than a motel?
I'm saying a motel is worse than a hotel.
Of course.
But I think that, to me, the difference between a hotel and a motel has always been... It's all inside. If you go to the lobby and they say, Mr. Wright, your room is this way, and I stay inside.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm at a hotel.
You're at a hotel, then.
You're at a motel if you have to walk
outside. If I leave
the
lobby and go outside and I go and I have to walk outside and then I go into my room, I'm at a motel.
So I think you're partially right, but the actual the actual differentiator, which I think you're interpreting as going outside, is do you feel unsafe? It's just, are you terrified? That's a motel. So if you go to a hotel, that's fun. If you go to a motel, you don't want to be there, and you shouldn't be, and there's 50-50 chance you're mugged or robbed.
And the inn is just something they call a motel to make you think that you don't need to be afraid.
An inn is like quaint and small,
yeah,
right?
I feel like on purpose, though.
Well, but you feel safe at an inn, don't you?
Because it's usually someone's house.
What, is it bed and breakfast than inn?
Yes, that's how I view
it. No, it's not.
You don't think a bed and breakfast is an inn?
No. I think, first of all, is it
a motel?
A motel is something, you have to be able to see it from the local highway. have to be able to physically see the light from the highway.
That's for sure.
But hotels can be located anywhere.
It's the light. You don't actually see the building because it's not tall enough.
Correct. They're always really flat, U-shaped. You park right in front of your door. That's the way a motel is.
And an inn
is... I don't know what an inn is.
An inn is really tiny. I think bed and breakfast does... What we know is that there's never any room.
What about Holiday Inn?
There's never any room.
Is Holiday Inn a motel or an inn?
I think it's a hotel.
It's a hotel?
Yeah, Holiday Inn is not an inn. They are. Might as well call them Denver. They're such liars. they are.
What
just
about
a hotel.
Holiday Inn Express?
Now that's a motel.
Yeah, for sure. I do not feel
now,
safe.
Do they call it an inn because motels you're out?
Mm.
And they wanted to counter-effect that?
I've always heard there's never room.
There's
in
never
the inn.
Room at the inn. That's what. Well,
they're so small.
Whatever you want in the inn,
right?
You're out.
There was no room.
Room in the inn.
That's the story I've always heard.
Yeah. But there's plenty of room at the hotel. They just gone to the hotel.
And the motel always, always has room because no one's there. It is, you know what I mean? It's vacant. There might be a worker.
And a motel always has the sign out front where it's the two different lights. There's no and vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they light up the no when they want to pretend that it's all full, mm-hmm. but it's really not.
And a motel will never give you ice in the room. You have to go get it, and that's your best chance of getting mugged.
Wait, hotel?
It's on the way to get the ice.
They bring you ice at your hotels?
Oh, yeah, we stay
well, they're indoors.
Hotel.
Well, you have to go get it, though.
That's true. You do go get it, but you don't have to go outside.
You don't have to get mugged to get it.
Right.
Well, no, because you're in a hallway.
Right.
You're not outside. You can't.
Yeah, muggings only happen outside. That's actually something else you should learn. If you're indoors,
it's illegal to mug somebody inside.
That's right.
Or outside.
Well, either one is illegal. But if
you look like a good mark that had a lot of money, but I respect the rules of the roof.
Yeah, if you're mugged indoors, you just got in a fight. That's all it is. You didn't.
Oh,
get
is that the difference?
Yeah, you can't go to the police and say I was mugged because they go, well, where were you? And you'd be like, well, I was in the hallway in my like. You didn't get mugged. You got in a fight, bro. That's just true.
And we don't know what the inn is, though.
The inn is wherever
there's no room. What's an inn?
You can't stay.
Nobody stays at an inn.
Nobody has ever stayed at an inn. It's
just
always
the innkeeper.
That's right.
It's
just a house.
It's just a money laundering business.
Okay. Right? All right. Soares from Patreon.
Ouch.
Soares? Ouch.
Thank you for your support.
I have a reusable water bottle.
Oh, brag much? Jeez.
That I refill and carry around daily. The only thing that goes in it is water. How often do I need to clean it? This is a great question.
This is a great question.
And I know
how dirty is your mouth?
Because every time you put water in it, you're cleaning it.
Right.
No, but every time you drink from it, you're backwashing.
But then I put new water in it, and I've just cleaned it.
Right.
But you're drinking the water you're cleaning it with.
But you're never going to clean it while it's half full. You're not going to like...
Oh, that's dirty.
Right. You would never like put some soap in a half full and then drink because then you'd be drinking soap. So it is always 100% of the time clean.
False.
I'm confused. Wait, what?
You should clean the outside though. I think that this reusable...
The
outside. You could have put it down on the ground. It's got
dirty. Who cares about the outside?
It's
what
the only
the part
that
where your tongue goes?
I don't just like take my water bottle and lick, lick.
No, I'm just saying because
the mouthpiece is the biggest concern here.
But it's always cleaned by the water. When you drink.
Not the outside part of the mouthpiece. That's not cleaned by your mouth.
Hmm.
That's the part you got to worry about is the outside of the mouthpiece. Everything inside is questionable.
Real talk. Like if you have the one where it's got the flippy straw and it comes up and it's the plastic.
Oh, yeah.
You got to bite it. Eventually, if you look at that straw.
Not good.
At the bottom of it, It is a black mass is starting to grow.
You never look at the straws. Never.
So then it stays clean?
Yes.
Because as long as you don't look at it.
If you don't know, you are fine. If you look at straws that you have used, like reusable straws.
Right.
Oh, never do
that. Gives the bacteria power.
It is a bad, bad idea. You're going to see how nasty it is.
Now, Judge Giamatti said just a smell test. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but I think that
it
most
just smells
things,
like water.
Most things that are, like, think about a glass you would use at home. It would never smell bad. Like, I drank water out of a glass, and then the smell test, yeah, it's always going to smell fine.
In a pond.
It's not true. A water bottle, it has a smell that forms after enough
A pond
uses.
Doesn't always smell, but you know there's tapeworm in there.
Pond by other...
Can I get tapeworm from a pond? I have
yes,
wanted to know where I can get tapeworm for so long.
No!
Because, man, the dream is alive. You can eat anything you want.
This is your weight loss plan? You're going to eat one on purpose?
Oh, baby. I can go to McDonald's all the time, and I'm just feeding my worm.
Excuse me, eating for two.
Yeah, could I park in the expectant mother's spots? Could I say, like, oh, there is a plus one in here. Don't believe me? Watch me eat. No, a tapeworm diet plan has always
Somebody's
been my fallback option.
He's
going to
give him a gummy worm, and he's going to eat like crazy after he...
Oh, gosh.
A tapeworm has always been your fallback?
My fallback diet plan. I assume someday I'll have to find one, but I didn't know I could find them at my local pond.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just drink the pond water, brother.
Look, I mean, it might come with some other different viruses.
Smell
or
Smell the pond first.
Probably yeah. help with weight loss, too, though.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Water weight.
Eventually, you weigh nothing.
Oh, man. All right. By the way, like, is it more dangerous to leave a cup of water out that is full?
Ooh.
Or a cup of water out that is empty, but with just like a little water at the bottom? Because I always think that one's more dangerous.
Oh, it does feel
dirtier.
Why
does it feel worse?
No. Wait, with like just a little bit of water in
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's not worse.
Because that's backwash.
No, but the like little bit means that like,
you're saying
stuff's
because
gonna
density,
grow on it. Yeah.
Whatever grows is not diluted by
like
the
you don't
entire
grow
cup.
Mold in the middle of the water. You only grow it on the areas where like
mold doesn't grow on water.
I know, but it will eventually grow on bacteria grows where it's moist.
Sure.
I mean, literally walls filled with moist water grow mold.
Yeah, but that's growing
and
on the
mosquitoes.
They grow mosquitoes.
Moist areas.
All right.
I think we did it. We figured it out.
Alec from Patreon, how many pieces of paper do you think you could punch through at the same time?
What an awesome question. Now I'm really curious.
So these are secured on the edges, so you can 100% just keep trying to punch.
Yeah.
Have you
Not
guys,
a lot. Not a lot.
Have you heard the...
it's not 500.
The explanation, and I'm going to need Al. I need someone to back me up on this because it's insane. But there's like something about you. If you fold a paper a certain amount of times, it becomes the thickness of, like, the universe.
Didn't we do that in A Liar Liar?
Yeah. Was that something we did?
Yeah.
I don't,
probably a lie.
We've talked about so much crap, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I'll look
that's
it up,
a thing,
it
right?
is a thing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've heard that.
So can you punch through the universe?
No, not yet. I'm working on it. I couldn't. So I'm going to start with what I know, which is a ream of paper, 500 pages. I could not punch through a ream of paper.
Okay.
Okay. If that
could you tear a...
A phone book
in half?
No.
With like some massive shears, sure. No, I could not tear a phone book in half. Although there's tricks to that, right? Like you spread the pages and you're not actually tearing
it all.
I
don't know. I've seen strong men do it.
I think I could punch through 100 pieces of paper.
Okay, how thick is 100 pieces of paper?
No way.
It's a fifth of a ream.
No way.
You don't think so?
No way.
Yeah, I could definitely punch through 100.
No, you couldn't.
How?
I don't think you can punch through.
Yeah, how low is that number?
Yeah, what do you think?
Could he get through 20?
20 is about where I think you could get through.
You don't think I could get through 50 sheets of paper?
No.
No.
Wait, you don't either?
No, I'm looking at you right now.
Oh. 50 sheets of paper, no problem. No,
yes,
I put $100 down. I could punch through 50 sheets of paper.
50 sheets?
I'll take it.
So.
I'll take the bet.
Oh!
Wait, which side?
Not your side.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing.
Oh, no.
Is there anything that we have that can hold the paper securely enough to let him try to punch through it?
I can make something.
Here's what I want. I want him to hold the paper up.
What, in front of his face?
Right in front of his face. And I'll show you I can rip through that paper.
I don't know if you could do 20.
Oh, man. What about two? You think I could do two sheets of paper?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Not if there was a picture of a spider on them.
Oh, man. That might be how I get through. Because
because we know that you're about to hit a spider. Yes.
I just can't. I just want to know. This spider, I've heard the story three times now. The spider's gotten bigger every time. It's like one of those fisherman stories.
Hold on.
I want to know how big this spider really was.
He's over here talking big game, like, if you put a spider on it, that's when I could really punch through the paper. Meanwhile, he's in a situation to save his family on the side
from
of the
a big rig rolling over on him.
One of these things is a photograph that, yeah, I probably couldn't punch that paper.
Hold on a second. Let's put you back in that situation.
Please don't.
You're on the side of the road with your family. John Stone doesn't roll up.
Mm-hmm.
It's 40 degrees out. A bat phone over there doesn't answer.
Yeah.
You got no cell coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that a thing where once you recognize the gravity, you would do it?
No, of course not. We actually had one alternative plan.
You were going to leave the van. You were going to all get in the other car.
No. You can't leave the van because then you don't know where the spider is.
You're 100% right. We would not have left the van.
Okay.
We would have said that it broke down and got it towed.
Oh.
We would have had the van towed somewhere.
Okay, but then
you would have paid.
But then how long does you realize that if it gets towed,
right,
the spider could still just be in there somewhere.
Right. 45 days later, we will clear the van out.
How
quickly.
Long can a spider live in a car?
You'd sell the van.
And we would sell the van.
That spider was going to cost you all the tow money.
Yep.
All the cost of trading it in.
Mm-hmm.
Spider almost ruined your life.
Now I'm picturing Jason at home, and he orders a bug guy for a full fumigation, and they show up with like the tent for the house. Uh-huh. Like, okay, is this the place?
Nope, that right
and you
there.
Just point to your car.
Put the tent up. Take it down. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I did
Sir,
have
this
that
is
thought.
Gonna cost $3,000. Just make it happen.
It's worth it. Did you see the size of this spider? Yeah, I mean, I
wow.
I have been Googling for used cars. That's not even like we're looking at trading.
Are
this
you,
van.
You
so
know
are you
that
sure?
Logically the spider's gone. It
we,
hasn't done anything to you.
John Stone could be Denver as well, and he could
be a
lying.
Liar.
He said
just
he,
took your
he
money?
Knocked it out, and he's like, oh wait, it's down there, and then he hit it, and then we. So did you kill it? Well, I didn't kill it, but I knocked it out. And we're like. Are you sure you saw it knocked out? And he's like, I guarantee it. And it felt a little too confident. You know, it's like, why are you needing us to be this sure that it was out?
It's funny that neither of you watched him get rid of the spider.
We tried.
Oh, man. We need to draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we are drafting the best dad clothing items.
As in, like, this
the
is
most
the
dad.
Most dad.
The yeah. most. These are staples, right? Like,
yes.
you're building some dad wardrobe here.
Only a dad's wearing that.
And only a dad is wearing it. Mm-hmm. And so, Mike, you have the very first pick.
It's unfortunate to be first in this draft.
Is it? Man,
it is.
There's kind of a 101 for
I've
there.
Got a 101
oh,
as well.
Oh, I have like 8 101s over
all
here,
right,
fellas.
All right.
But we're going to kick. Oh, man.
We should also say, considering we are kind of middle-aged dads,
mm-hmm.
we should say which of these we find acceptable.
Okay.
Or that we've acquiesced to
mm-hmm.
as we come along to them. I'm sure all of them are in your wardrobe.
So, man. I'm trying to analyze the draft here. What could possibly make it back that I just have to have for my most dad?
Everybody can close their eyes and see a dad.
Oh yeah, and you know exactly what we're talking about. So we'll go right to the source. It starts on the feet. It starts on the ground. It's those white New Balance shoes, my friend.
That's the clear.
I don't understand what happens to dads when they're just like foot fashion. Don't care. Give me some white New Balance shoes.
I have a little insight to that. I know what it is.
Okay.
Because my father bought the same pair
of white New
real close to white New okay. Balance. They were gray New Balance for about 20-some years, the same pair.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. It's they found the pair that feels good. And I think it's really a testament to New Balance. The New Balance.
Perhaps it is.
It's like the dads put them on. They're like, oh, baby, I can walk in these. And then they never want to change the pair that fits.
My dad was a Reebok dad.
Okay, white?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Why are dad shoes always white? Why are they always?
I don't. They just like they like that clean white look.
The white New Balance.
And the white shoes always look bigger.
Oh, and well, the New Balance ones are chunky.
You're just wearing gigantic marshmallows on your feet.
Yep.
I had my 101 on the list was white New Balance Velcro.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a good pick. That's a shame. I'm gonna go. There's a number of directions.
I've got so many good ones.
I'm going to go with pleated khakis.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Must have the pleats.
Yeah. The pleated pants. For sure.
What's the definition of a pleat?
Oh, the pleat is when you're wearing the a khaki
like
or
the
dress pants.
The fold line?
It's when you have those cinches, fold lines across the front.
Yeah.
There was a time. I get it. This is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are fathers. We're not just taking shots at dads right now. There was a time when that was in. That was fine. That was socially acceptable. It was preferred that we needed to have the pleats in our pants. That time,
oh, fancy.
That time was gone like 25 years ago.
It was
though.
A
That's
short window. It was a very short window of, but then they stuck around. But it was only a short window when it was actually cool. And then,
have you ever seen these time capsule dads though? Like so we go to these sporting events with my son, you know, flag football games. There's tons of dads everywhere. And every once in a while, you find the time capsule dad. They're not wearing the dad stuff.
Yeah.
They're the ones wearing what they wore in high school. Same high school spiked haircuts, same big wide jeans, same oversized t-shirts.
Yep.
They just never stop doing the routine from high school.
And look, I get it. Like if you're like, hey Mike, what new music are you listening to? Well, I got some stuff from the late 90s that I think you might like.
The older you get, the more you want to just do something easy.
You're locked in, man.
You're locked in. All right, my pick. I have two of them.
You get two.
You sure do.
Well, good. I actually thought the 101 was this pick that I'm going to make. It's also on the feet, but I'm going with the socks and sandals.
Oh, yep, yeah. Shoes and socks.
The socks and sandals. Look is. I don't know at what point. Now, that is full. I don't care.
Yes.
That's full. Like, I'm not taking the socks off to put the sandals on, and I'm not making a sandal choice based on aesthetics because I'm wearing socks. So the socks and sandals are going to be my first pick.
That's tremendous.
Now, I have an item. Are these all forward-facing?
I don't know.
You know what? Never mind. I'm gonna pivot. I'm gonna go to the cell phone holster.
Oh
no!
Yeah.
That's
oh
the
yeah!
One I thought would come back.
I'm going, the phone clip for sure.
I'm going to the cell phone holster phone clip.
My father is a phone clipper.
He
and it's
still
the
does
worst.
It.
Oh, it's terrible. It's so embarrassing.
Our dads are on blast today.
Oh yeah. Why don't you look down right now and see if you've got a phone clip to your pleated khakis? And you can know that this is a problem.
This is about you.
That we're here to help with. We're here to.
Yes.
We're here
yes,
to.
Yes, we are. On one hand, you have some of the top picks in a draft from Spitballers.
Right. Congratulations. You're very dad.
Yes.
I thought that would easily make it back.
Yeah. I'm going socks and sandals, cell phone holster.
So, since we are putting dads on blast mercilessly.
Of which we are, but not quite this stage
yet. Not quite this stage. I feel the need to put myself on blast.
Oh, is this one you go with?
I don't think there's much more dad clothing than a polo shirt. I am a polo man. My wardrobe in my closet, I've got like the t-shirts and I got the polo section. I've got a lot of polos. I love them. They are my
you
favorite
do wear
shirt.
A lot of polos.
D-A-D guilty as charged.
Yeah, it's a dad shirt for sure.
Oh, man.
I love it.
love me a good golf polo.
Oh, man.
It's so comfy.
Spectacular.
It's like, it's like I'm dressed up, but I'm still comfortable.
Oh, man.
All right.
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
Mike, you're up. You have a couple of picks.
There's three that I just. Oh,
you
man.
Only get two.
I love them. All right. Well, we got to start with this one. There may be some people in this office that are guilty of this crime as well. I'm not going to name any names. Cargo shorts, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
If you got the extra pockets on the bottom, what are you doing? Why do you need those?
Maybe I used to. I had so many cargo shorts a long time ago that my pocket for the wallet was always the right cargo pocket.
I was too.
But this was back in the cargo days.
Yeah, when I was a young lad. Yeah. I was like, oh, man, there's so much room for all my stuff.
It is convenient. Like, would you rather go hiking in a normal pair of shorts or cargo shorts?
You got to go with the cargo shorts, man. But they're very, very dad short.
They're a little dated now.
That was the next on my list.
Oh, excellent,
sure.
Excellent. And then I will follow it up. My third pick. Oh, man, which one makes it back? I don't know. We'll go with, look, when you get older, I get it, because the eyesight goes. I mean, Jason wears fantastic glasses.
Oh, thank you.
Great glasses. I was a glasses man for a long time.
I know where you're going. And I had to get LASIK. These ones.
And look. When you have prescription lenses and you go outside, there's a problem. You can't wear
sunglasses. Dang it!
You can't wear sunglasses.
This is my pick!
But what if your lens did both? What if you could be inside and then you go outside and you're wearing sunglasses, and I will take transition lenses?
There is nothing worse than transition lenses. Nothing.
And that's a slow transition right there.
Especially when you come back inside.
My dad had these for... You had them. My dad had them.
I bought some. I went glass...
You're just indoors with sunglasses for a long time.
Yes. That's the biggest problem.
Is
when you don't need them.
Sunglasses.
Even when they're done. Even when they're fully untransitioned to regular lenses. Like, those are a little tinted. Those look real stupid. And the thing is I bought them, and they were expensive. That was like a huge upgrade. It cost a lot of money to add the transition.
Well, there's a lot of science going on there.
And I did this, of course, without my wife, because she never would have let me do this. I just thought, oh, that's cool. I can always have them. I mean, it was a real dad maneuver, because I think part of the problem with dad.
You are so right.
The problem with all this dad clothing and just dad gear is practicality and ease over fashion. So it's like, I don't need my other, look at all the room in these pockets. Oh, I can just slip the sandals right on over the socks. Like, it's all just ease.
It's when you...
I already found myself a wife.
When you don't consult the significant other so that you have a sounding board for this mistake you're about to make, that's when you end up with the dad. And once you got it, you're like, I've got it now. So I'm going to wear it.
All right. Now I'm just going with the regular old dad. And this is just what you're going to wear almost every day.
Ooh.
It's just a nice pair of Costco jeans. Yeah. Just a real nice. I mean, they're very boxy. They were very affordable. And... I can wear them every day, just a nice pair of Costco jeans.
Oh, man. You get a lot of good use out of those.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are very uniform.
Are those
blue.
Wranglers? No, Costco's.
Yeah. 3 for $30. They got a great deal going right now.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. When you got dad jeans, you got to let everyone know about the deal.
Oh, you have to.
That's how you qualify.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no, these jeans, oh, they were a great deal. I'm telling you, I saved so much money.
You can go get them right now. They're on sale.
10 for $1.
Aisle A5.
Oh,
don't
my gosh. All right. I'm back up.
Yep.
Two picks, my final two. Well, I've got to start this off with some headwear. Look, if I know dads, I know out here in Arizona especially, you are very, very comfortable in a large sun hat.
It's on my list.
You are just fine. Again, if you don't want the sun to get to you, and you don't care what you look like preventing it. So you're going to wear a large sun hat with a big old... It might be wide-brimmed.
Oh.
It might be just the back neck.
Uh-huh.
But this is going to be a normal part of your wardrobe.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, you've got one. Well, I know
that. You
know that.
I do.
Oh, yeah, you go out.
The sun is so strong.
The sun is so strong. And even though you look so stupid, it's just very practical.
Yes.
And I don't know. Hopefully this one's still okay to be picked. My final pick. It's a variant of one of the already made selections.
Well, that's fine. That's
but
fine.
Frankly, in Arizona... The Costco jeans aren't going to cut it when you can get yourself some jean shorts.
Yo, George,
oh, yeah.
Jorts is on my list.
But not cool. They're not cool. These ones have a very even flat bottom. These ones aren't cut short.
These are very hemmed.
These are manufactured.
They
this
might
way.
Be jean cargos. We don't know for sure. But they are jean. They might be whitewashed. I mean, they are short
yes.
jean Shorts.
Shorts, absolutely on this
so
list.
So there's my socks fabulous. And sandals, cell phone holster, sun hat, jean shorts, and I'm ready to go.
There are people listening to this show right now.
They look down.
That are like, what have I done?
Oh, man. You're a dad. Congrats.
Yeah.
Congrats. You're probably a wonderful father.
Now go burn all that
you
stuff.
You look like a weirdo.
Other than the sun hat, you might want to keep that. It's very useful.
Very practical.
I did want to piggyback your transition lenses and go the clip-on lenses. Those are the nice backup if you need them, the clip-ons. But
those can go in and out of fashion.
Of fashion, yeah.
Transition lenses cannot.
Unfortunately, Mike got my cargo shorts, and sometimes you might be without your cargo shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one solution.
Oh, no.
It's a fanny pack.
It's not even on my list. Yeah. That's so good.
Oh, man. I mean, again, super practical. I could tell you, if I go to Disneyland.
You go fanny?
I go fanny. Yeah, dude, I got all my cash right
in front. Full fanny?
Oh, yeah, full fanny
pack. Like front full fanny.
I mean, I'll put it to the side. I'm a hip young dad.
All right.
But yeah, it's so.
It's European.
So easy to keep everything all in one place.
Oh, man.
Well, that's a great closer pick right there. Hit that one out of the
way. I've got pleated khakis, a polo shirt, Costco jeans, and a fanny pack.
Oh, that's so good.
Wow. That one's outstanding.
I hadn't even thought of. Did you have a fanny pack phase as a wee lad?
I did.
It was like third.
I definitely held it to the side too. It wasn't straight in front of you.
Oh no, nerds do
like
that.
Like third to fifth grade, I think I had a fanny pack on every day.
Small detour because I'm thinking about the fanny pack being, you know, tilted to the side, right? Which really the fanny pack's most convenient if it's right in front of you.
Right in front.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that you do as a kid, for goodness sakes, kids, I think they stopped doing it. But I felt a tremendous peer pressure to only use one side of the backpack strap.
Oh, yeah.
And I needed both, man. My backpack was heavy. I needed the security. And I probably misaligned my spine for years.
I have permanent damage.
Because I can't do both. I'm a nerd.
No, two straps? Yeah, you're right.
I got to look cool and hold this all with one side.
That's for dorks. All right. Cool kids wear with one strap.
Isn't that so ridiculous? So stupid.
It is so stupid, but man, if you see both straps on,
that kid
is a dork.
Wow. All right, Mike, your final pick.
All right, we'll close this one out. When dad goes on vacation, you know he cuts loose. And there's only one type of shirt for dad when he's on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, yeah. That is so good.
It's probably not buttoned.
Oh, it's of course not buttoned. It's got a white t-shirt under there.
Hey, Al, do you got any Hawaiian shirts over there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm on a cruise ship, I am bright.
You're wearing the...
And a few days after.
Yeah.
You're wearing the open Hawaiian shirt. You got your cargos on. You got your socks and sandals, your fanny pack.
The wind is blowing through that shirt a little bit.
The transition lenses have fully gone to sunglasses.
Oh, baby. Spectacular. Other nominees here as we close this out. I did have bolo ties out there.
But they're more grandpa.
They're more grandpa.
Yeah.
I got tube socks.
Oh, yeah.
I had the high socks, but it was just like socks and sandals took care of it.
Novelty t-shirts.
Yep, that's what I've got.
Overstuffed wallet.
Very dad.
Whitey tidies.
Certainly, they don't always show those off. And then it was.
But they do sometimes.
Well, yeah, a little bit. It was a combo with the wallet, but it's like dads just have huge key rings that have like 30 keys on there.
Okay.
And you only use two of them, but you hear them jangling coming down the stairs.
And of course, Gildan t-shirts.
Oh, of course.
Well, what do you think all those novelty t-shirts are printed on?
Cheap as possible.
10 for a dollar. All right.
What did we learn today?
I learned that Denver is full of lies.
They are full of crap.
I mean, Flagstaff looks down upon you, Denver.
Literally.
Yes.
Literally.
I learned that Jason's spider phobia goes so far that he can't even save his family to kill a spider.
I wrote two words down. Spiders win.
Yeah.
Spiders win.
I mean, that's shameful.
I was full of shame. I still am. But know thyself. And
we love you anyways.
My family lives.
That's a nice polo you got.
Thank you, John Stone.
Take care, everyone.
See you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.